Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today as we come again into the word of the Lord. In the message of the Lord, we stand today to declare forth your comfort to your people. Glorify yourself in the message of the Lord and let the hearts of your people be blessed. And as always, we know the entrance of your word brings light into our hearts and understanding to the simple. And so let it be this morning as we receive encouragement from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today I want to talk about peace beyond all understanding. Actually, it's more like perfect peace. You know, and we often wonder how the Lord can do that. You know, so I'm going to share a few scriptures for us to hold on to no matter what. And I'll tell you why, you know, because there is something about the goodness of God and the life that we live now. And it brings blessings to us. I mean, we've heard testimonies in the room today. But as long as we are in this flesh, here upon the earth, the package of blessing always comes with testings. You cannot open that package and all you see inside of it is blessings. Well, I wish it was so, but it's not so. It goes together with challenges and stuff. Now, we've been trying to deal in this room with having our hearts stayed on him so that we don't have a yo-yo relationship with him. We don't have an up and down relationship. Your mind is steady. However, the things of this world are like up and down, night and day. That's just the way it is. You know, it's just the way it is. But our lesson today is for us to again engage ourselves in that stability. When things go up and down around us, we want to remain stable. You know, and there is not a single person in this room or anywhere else that is not going to experience, you know, those up and down situations around you. However, inside of you, you can remain stable. That's what we want to deal with today. Because when we have great joys and great victories and great testimonies like this, you know, then there will be testings that come. People don't understand it. And then they get deflated. And you don't have to be deflated. So that's what I want to deal with today. I mean, you are right now, you're having great joy, great testimonies and stuff. And then all of a sudden, your other things happen around you. But it can be only around you. If you learn how to deal with it, that it's only around you and it doesn't touch you on the inside. That's what we want to deal with today. Hallelujah. So first of all, let me define peace the way that we're going to bring it in this lesson today. Now, peace, many people know. I mean, well, it can be the absence of trouble, you know, and so forth and all that. But I want to define peace in a different way. I want to say the peace that we're talking about today is not necessarily the absence of trouble. It's not necessarily the absence of a storm or the absence of a tempest. But on the other hand, the peace that we want to talk about today is actually, you know, despite the storm, despite the trouble. Even in the eye of the storm, even in the midst of what, I mean, might seem like, how in the world is she calm? You know, that's the kind of peace that I want to talk about and give us some scriptures for us to hold on to. Because we will all experience it. We've experienced it, and you will experience it again and again and again. But you need to know how to deal with it. You know, in the beginning, think of the way that God created man as inside a bubble. You know, inside a bubble. That bubble was the glory of God. The man was on the inside. And the bubble was all around it. Well, through disobedience, and all that. You know the story. You know, that bubble was busted. And now he's on the outside, struggling to find the peace, struggling to find the, you know, that glory again. As it is written, all I've seen, I'm falling short of the glory. But this lesson today is to return us into that place where we are inside the bubble. That bubble, you are on the inside. The bubble is on the outside. The reverse is true today. You know, the soul is now on the outside, having to deal with things that the soul cannot deal with. Instead of the soul being on the inside, and the beauty of the Spirit of God united with your spirit and his glory on the outside. It's been reversed through the fall. You know, so the soul is now, you know, on the forefront, and it cannot really offer the first line of defense. As you know, it can't, because, you know, all the, you know, it's bombarded with emotions and things like that. So we need to reverse that to where it used to be before the fall. You know, go back to being shrunk down on the inside. You know, the soul and the flesh shrunk down. The spirit man, you know, united with the Spirit of God and the glory of God on the outside. And that bubble, you know, around you. It's like that, it's like a force field that's shielding you from effects of what would have deflated the soul, put the soul into depression, and so on and so forth. You know, so let's go right to the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We'll start there. Famous scripture that we all know. Be anxious for nothing. Well, there is a reason why the Bible gives us, you know, encouragement about things. Like when Jesus would come to the disciple and say, fear not. Well, it's because they were afraid. You know, there's always, that's always the reason. If Jesus says, fear not, it's because they were afraid. If he says, be not troubled, it's because they were troubled. And if he says, be not anxious, it's because we're anxious. You know, so, but this scripture is saying, look, you're going to have situations of anxiety, I mean of trouble of your soul, you know, because of bad news, because of whatever. I mean, think of even health concerns. You know, we've heard testimonies today of, you know, health and so forth. You know, think of, you know, health concerns. Suppose you get a not so good or bad report, I mean, a frightening report from the doctors, you know. So how do we deal with things like this? You know, how that we can still be in peace, actually perfect peace. And the song I played at the beginning talking about keeping perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, comes from Isaiah 26 and verse 3. But let's finish this lesson in Philippians 4 and 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving part. Let your requests be made known unto him. And he didn't stop there, but the powerful secret is in verse 7. And the peace of God, that's where this lesson comes from today, that passes all understanding. I mean, where even you yourself wonder, and people looking at you wonder, how in the world, yeah, the peace of God that passes understanding, how in the world can you be calm like this? How can you be at the back of the boat sleeping when the boat is being tossed up and down, where we're about to perish, and all of that stuff, you know, and the disciples couldn't understand it. But Jesus was experiencing that peace. Now, not the absence of a storm. There was storm. In fact, the billows and everything from the sea, waters coming in and all of that. And it's like they're going to drown, the thing tossed up and down. But he's sleeping like a baby. Are you kidding me? you know, it was experiencing something that we need to experience on a permanent basis. We need to be able to get into that realm. And he said, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't exactly say that God will answer those prayers that you are praying about in verse 6. Well, in other places he talked about, I mean, we know the scripture says, ask and you shall receive. But this particular one is talking about how to get into a place of peace while you're waiting and while you're going through whatever it is. You know, so the place of peace that when you look on the outside, like, how can they possibly have that kind of calmness? Well, the Lord gives us many promises about this kind of peace. And let's go through it, and we have to learn how to exercise ourselves in it. That's what we're going to try to bring this morning. Exercise yourself into the peace of God, you know, so that no matter what you hear, no matter what you see with the physical senses, your spiritual senses remain steady on Him. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 16. Powerful stuff. The God of peace Himself, the Lord of peace Himself, shall give you peace always. Now that's always. By all means. I mean, always, by all means, the Lord be with you all. I mean, how many times he said all in that short verse? Always, by all means. I mean, how can you get peace by all means? Well, that means all necessary means. God will, you know, give you that peace. And so you latch your mind onto that. And look, why would I need this kind of peace? Well, it's because I will be surrounded at times with the kinds of things that will frighten me naturally, the kinds of things that will depress me naturally, the kinds of things that will bring me into distress naturally. But because I've learned to put my mind on Him, Thou will keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on You. Isaiah 26 and 3. Here's what the Lord said for, you know, those of us that are walking in, if we are walking in righteousness with Him, here is our peace in Him. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 18. In fact, if you read the previous verses, powerful stuff, but that's not my subject today. I want to focus on this one so I can get through it. You know, but if you read how the Lord turns the wilderness into a fruitful field and how He turns a fruitful field into a forest, you'll see that God can take any situation and bring beauty out of it. Now, but I want to read from verses 17 and 18 of Isaiah chapter 32. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, you know, and assurance forever. Now, this is a kind of a steadfast confidence in the Lord, no matter what else is going on. I mean, can you imagine everything, you know, all hell breaking loose, cataclysmic upheavals, you know, things are just, you know, tornado, everything, I mean, tempest and everything. And yet, the Lord is keeping you in perfect peace. News of ill health, diagnosis and things like that. Yet, the Lord is keeping you in perfect peace. Hallelujah. You know, and my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now, this is so powerful. This is what I want to bring today. that you may dwell in a peaceful habitation, have peace, you know, and be in a quiet and sure dwelling, in a state of rest, in a state of inertia. Just be in a state of rest. Hallelujah. You know, and have quietness and assurance in resting places forever. Powerful stuff. My peace I give unto you. John chapter 14 and verse 27. I want to go through these scriptures of peace quickly now. You know, the peace that God gives us, not as the world gives, he said, you know, no. But I give, you know, because the way the world's peace is when there is no trouble. You know, if there is no trouble, then they say that's peace. But Jesus said, well, it's not like that. Even when there is trouble, I give you my peace. So that's our definition for peace today, is even in the midst of trouble. Hallelujah. Yet we have that peace. You know, because, you know, the Lord is the one that gives this to us. And say, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because your heart will be troubled, naturally speaking. And your heart will be afraid, naturally speaking. But he said, let it not be. Let means take charge. You know, don't just leave it up to chance. Control your heart. Don't let it be afraid. Don't let it be troubled. Direct your heart into the love of God, the patient waiting for Christ, for the victory that he has promised you. Direct your heart into the word of God that you are hearing today. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is our peace. You know, Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. He paid the price for it. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. He paid the price for our peace to ensure that we have this peace. Hallelujah. You know, he made, you know, Bible even says in Colossians 1 that he made peace through the blood of his cross. He paid this price for us. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 16 and 33, he said, look, as long as you are here, you're going to have this thing that I was calling a package deal. You know, a package deal comes with, on the one hand, blessings from the Lord and things like that. On the other hand, it comes with trials and testings and tribulation and all of that. But he said, look, you know, these things I've spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. Hallelujah. Because around you, there's going to be problems. There's going to be things that could naturally take your mind out of kilter, but you know, train your mind to be on peace and be at peace. Hallelujah. And now we're talking about peace even in the midst of trouble, peace even in the midst of storms, the very eye of the storm. I mean, we see the story of the three friends of Daniel in Daniel chapter 3 verses 16 to 18. They were at the jeopardy of their lives, about to be cast into the fire. But yet they said, look, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. I love that. And I often tell people that, look, your declaration of faith must begin with a non-negotiable statement that you know that God is able to, and he will. That's it. End of story. There's no negotiation about that. Now, it's up to the Lord, though, if for whatever reason best known to him, he chooses to do something differently. But in my heart, I know that not only is he able, I know he is willing, and I know he is going to. That's non-negotiable. You know, so take that down as one of our punchlines today. Your non-negotiable declaration of faith right off the bat must, you know, indicate that you know that God is able to and that he will. He wants to and he will. You know, you settle that in your heart. They settled it. We're not going to go away and think about it. We already know that our God is able and he will. But even nevertheless, even if he chooses for whatever reason best known to him not to do it, we still will not bow down, you know, to your idols and listen, you know, submit ourselves to your music and all of that. And the man was enraged when he heard that. But we saw that the Lord actually did deliver them. Hallelujah. You know, so in the midst of it all, no matter what it is, looks like, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Now that's always causes us to triumph. But let's read this in Psalm 46. Let's read how the psalmist put it out in the midst of the all of these problems. We'll read the first 5 verses of Psalm 46. I mean, the Lord is a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge and he's our strength. A very present help in trouble. Now, there's no way that trouble is not going to come. Trouble always comes. Even Jesus himself, he had trouble. You know, trouble came from the people always trying to kill him. Times they tried to throw him off the cliff. They tried to do this. They tried to do that. You know, whatever, you know, but his mind was in perfect peace. Therefore will we not fear. You know, now these are situations that would have brought fear. Though the earth be removed. Huh, I love this song. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I mean, uproar, things being uprooted and everything falling around him. Waters thereof roar and be troubled. The mountains shake and the swelling. You know, my goodness. You know, the earthquakes, they're, you know, lava throwing out of the mountains, you know, and all of that, swelling and so forth, you know, eruptions and all that, you know, no, I still will not fear, because there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, you know, there is the, you know, peace of a river, it just, river just flowing smoothly through like that. You know, and he says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And God shall help her. It's talking about the place, the city of God. You know, so God is the Lord with you. And will he help you? Why, absolutely. Listen to Psalm 112. How he says it concerning a righteous man. Are you a righteous person? Are you in right standing with God? Do you love the Lord with your heart? Well, this was one of my scriptures when I was a young man. I love this scripture. It helped me through many things. You know, it says, look, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. You know, so when there is darkness around you, light will come from the Lord. Gracious will make you gracious. Compassion, righteous, a good man showeth favor, regarding affairs with discretion. But here's where I'm going. Surely he shall not be moved forever. He shall not be moved. There's a song that says, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Jesus is my savior and so on. Old time song. He shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. I mean, let's personalize that. Say, look, I will not be afraid of evil tidings. Well, you will receive the evil tidings, but you will not be afraid. That's a big difference. It's not saying that, you know, evil tidings will not come. You know, evil tidings may come. You know, but you dismiss them, just dismiss them like fake news. Hallelujah. It's fake. You know, I'm standing on the word of God. I'm going to dismiss all that stuff. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Fixed is what we're talking about today. Not up and down. The situations around you may be up and down, But inside you, because you are in that bubble, you know, the Lord is our shield, is our refuge, is our fortress. I mean, inside of him, his name is a strong tower. I've run into it, I'm saved. Because I've made the Lord, who is, you know, the Most High, I have made him my habitation. You know, so I'm inside of him. Therefore, there shall no evil trouble me. Evil may be on the outside, but I am inside of him. You know, and my heart is fixed. I have steady assurance on the Lord. You know, I'm not worried about it because I know the end result is the Lord. He'll deliver me from all, every evil work. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I shall not be greatly moved. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. I want you to declare it to yourself as you are listening to this lesson. Begin to be using these scriptures that you are hearing to declare to yourself, truly my soul waited upon God. Hallelujah. From him cometh my salvation. Salvation from evil tidings. Salvation from report of evil health. Salvation from even bad news from a far place and so on. You know, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. In other words, no matter the greatness of the force that is coming against me, I will be unmovable. Hallelujah. Steady assurance. Complete confidence in the Lord. Glory to God. Knowing that the Lord is my rock. Rock means you are fastened, you are anchored on him. And, you know, you're not moving, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to be soon troubled. Paul and Silas, they were in prison. Acts chapter 16 and verse 24 to 26. And they were not troubled at all. At midnight, the Bible said, they sang praises. They were not troubled. And the next thing you know, a great angel of the Lord brought them deliverance. Paul was facing shipwreck in Acts chapter 27, verses 22 to 25. He was facing shipwreck. But he told the people, look, you guys ought to stay in the ship. In order for you, don't jump ship now. You stay in the ship. You know, he said, look, you be of good cheer. Now, he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. But there shall no loss of life be upon any one of you. But you must stay in the ship. You got to stay in the ship, he told them. If you stay in the ship, you know, and that's like, look, stay in the bubble. He said, because the angel of the Lord stayed with me, stood by me tonight, you know, whose I am and whom I serve. And he told them, sirs, I believe God, you know, and, you know, there's nothing, no harm is going to come unto you, but you must stay in the ship. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be told me shall be even as he told it to me. Hallelujah. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Woo-hoo. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or what shall I even fear? Shall I be afraid of evil tidings? Shall I be afraid of the doctor's report? Shall I be afraid of, you know, whatever tempest or storm or however else is going on? The Lord is the light, my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, are my foes, and whatever else tries to come up to eat up your flesh, they will stumble and they will fall. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The things that would normally make people afraid, this man said, I will not be afraid. There should be war around me and everything, you know, and so forth like that. In this will I be confident. Though I should receive bad tidings, a bad report, I will not fear. Because the Lord will make the bitter waters sweet. The Lord will turn all that around. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. You know, Psalm 119 and 165. Psalm 119 verse 165. You know, and I love this, this Psalm 119. It's so packed with the benefits of the word of God. You know, and, listen to this in, verse 165 of how he puts it. Great peace have they which love thy word. Nothing shall offend them. In other words, you know, there's nothing that's going to rock them one way or another. They are steady. And that's the thing that I'm talking about today. Steady in the Lord. He restoreth my soul. Psalm 23 verses 1 to 3. Said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, I mean, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. Makes me to lie down even beside the still waters. He leads me in the path of, restoring my soul. That's the part that I want to talk about. You know, there are times when your soul will be famished because it's natural. But the way to restore that soul is put that soul back inside that bubble. You know, and let the glory of God and the spirit man be on the outside. Take the word of God. We've been teaching this all the time. Hebrews 4 and 12. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. And it is able to divide even asunder the spirit and the soul. And separate that soul, put it right back down under. And use the word of God to elevate the spirit. Let the spirit man be on the outside. And let your soul be quiet. Why are you disquieted within me, oh my soul? Be quiet now. Be at peace. Be at rest. Stay steady now. Hallelujah. Be in quiet assurance. Be in quiet confidence. You talk to your soul. And you say, look, in all these things, none of these things move me. That's what Paul said. Now, Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. That was his own testimony. Well, what is your testimony? Can you say, like Paul, that none of these things move me? The things that I've heard, you know? I mean, look, none of these things move me, he said. I don't even count my life down to myself. You know, I'm going to finish my course with joy. You know, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to do it. Nothing is going to move me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, you are in this room today. The Lord has called you to fulfill a purpose. That devil cannot truncate it. He cannot truncate that purpose of God in your life. The purpose of God in your life shall be fulfilled. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalmist said, I shall not die, but I shall live. Glory to God. You know, I will not die. I'm going to live to declare the glory of God. Ha! Can you say that as your testimony? You will not die, but you will live. Hallelujah. Let's read it all together and let's claim it for ourselves. Psalm 118. Let's read from verse 17 here this morning. You know, and I want everybody to get a hold of this scripture. Believe it with all your heart. Hallelujah. And it's not just that you are going to live like a vegetable. Oh, no, no. Jesus said, I give you abundant life. Glory to God. You know, so let's believe the Lord together as we read these verses of scripture. Psalm 118 and verse 17. I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's it. That's the reason why I am living. I will live to declare the works of the Lord, and I will not die. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 puts it all together so beautifully. He said, look, all these things that may be happening, and they will happen, you know, they're not going to move me. I'm persuaded, you know, that neither life nor death, nor this, nor that. But he said, look, all these things, even in them all, in the midst of them all, I am more than a conqueror. We are more than a conqueror, he said. More than conquerors. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor a bad report, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present, nor whatever, whether things are up or things look down, you know, nor any other creature, be able to separate us from the love of God, you know, be steady in his love, anchored upon the love of Christ. It's an anchor that reaches into the beyond the veil. You know, it will put you right in there. Glory to God. Listen to how he puts it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. There are many things that he went through, but he was never, these things never moved him. We are troubled on every side. Well, that's the trouble. Like I said, it'll be there. Yet not distressed. Perplexed, yet not in despair. Persecuted, yet not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I mean, there was a constant thing with him that in all these things, he said, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. He said that multiple times in the next few verses. The life also of Jesus. And there was a quiet confidence in him. You know, I am instructed, he said, how to be full, how to be empty, how to be up or how to be down, naturally speaking, in all things and through all things. You know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He put that testimony out in the book of Philippians chapter 4. He said, look, no matter what I'm going through, I have learned, you know, to be, you know, up. I've learned to be down, whatever, naturally speaking. I know how to be abound. I know how to be abased. I'm instructed in all things, but to be full and to be hungry, to suffer need or whatever in the natural. But inside my heart, I know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You know, he said it. You know, Philippians chapter 4, you can read, you know, you can read verses 10 to about 13. I mean, he just put it out there. He had this quiet confidence in the Lord. Now, the summary of our lesson today, I'm not going to make it a long one, is you want to be able to say, none of these things move me because my heart is fixed and I am trusting in the Lord. And the Lord has a way that he will bring it. You know, the Lord will not dash your hopes to pieces. The Lord will not, you know, cut off your expectation. Your expectation is that you're coming out of whatever may you may be confronted with. You know, if you received an evil report from the doctor and there is something that could deflate your heart, the Lord will give you the victory. And at the end of it all, you say, wow, it was never anything at all anyway. Because the Lord, the eye of the eagle, he saw it all. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I believe that today, more than ever, we need to assure ourselves with this quiet confidence in the Lord. Even as he says in the book of Isaiah 32 that we read, a walk of righteousness shall be peace. The effect thereof shall be tranquility. Peace and tranquility in your heart. Every day. No matter what happens. Now, some of you may not feel like you need this exhortation right now, but you will. But I want you to remember it. Jesus said, look, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things that I said to you. And some of you may need it right now. You know that, look, the psalmist said, I went with people to the house of God that were shouting and praising the victory. You know, in the midst of all these wonderful testimonies that we have heard here today, you know, he said, well, I was right in their midst in Psalm 42. I went with those that kept holy day, and they were shouting the praise, and they were giving the glory to God. Every one of them had a testimony, but in my own heart, my heart was deflated. My soul was down. Yet I was hearing people's testimonies of how great things God had done. So he turned around the soul and said, look, soul, we're not doing that today. We're not doing any of this being cast down stuff. I will yet praise the Lord for the light of his countenance and for the help of his grace. He will be with me. He will pull me out of the miry clay. Glory to God. Set my foot on the rock. And he'll put a new song in my mouth. And a song of victory will I sing unto the Lord. And so he encouraged himself in the Lord. The Bible said he always encouraged himself in the Lord. The story in Ziklag, 1 Samuel chapter 30, the first 6 verses. When he came back from, you know, fighting with the Philistines and so forth. I mean, he went, the people said, look, you made us go fight a battle that was not even ours. What's your business, you know, going to, you know, camp with the Philistines and all these things. Meanwhile, you know, they had come. Malachites and things carried away their substance, destroyed Ziklag where they were camped, carried away their wives and everything. And the people were so distressed, all the people that followed him, and they thought of stoning him because it was because of him. They went with him to battle. You know, something that they didn't even concern them, they felt, you know, and they said, look, and they wanted to stone him. And so finally, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. He encouraged himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. The people were greatly distressed. David himself was greatly distressed. And the people spoke of stoning him. For all the soul of the people were grieved. For every man, his sons and daughters that were carried away. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord today? Well, let's deal with that for the next few minutes, and I am going to pray over the room. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord today? Well, it's really that simple. First, we got to put the mind, our natural mind, out of it. We got to take on the mind of Christ. We got to put our soul out of the equation. And walk in the Spirit. And we got to take the word of God. Hallelujah. You know, 1 John chapter 5 verse 9 says, if you receive the witness of men, if you receive this report and this thing that this medical thing is saying, if you receive this testimony of this test that you have done, that this thing is in your body or whatever, the witness of God is greater. Hallelujah. If you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. God is able to set you free. And he will too. And he's already done it. The devil is just a liar. Glory to God. You know, the devil shake things up and so forth like that. But be rock steady in your heart. Hallelujah. So that's how we do it. We take the word of God and we instruct our hearts. Instructs our minds after the things of the Spirit. We take the word of God and not the word of man. You know, take the word of God, not the word of the devil. Devil presented his own word to Eve at the beginning. God said one thing, the devil said another thing, and Eve chose to believe the devil See, that's where we have all this problem till today. Now, God already said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I will not put upon thee any of these sicknesses, hallelujah, which you have known. But I will take the sicknesses from the midst of thee. And I, the Lord, I am your God. I will rejoice over you. The Lord in the midst of you will joy over you with joy and singing. I mean, all these things, Zephaniah 3 and 17, and all these beautiful promises that the Lord gave to us, you know. Why would we then turn around and take, you know, the word of the Lord? The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, you know, he will rejoice over thee with joy. Rest in his love, we will joy over you with singing. The Lord gave many, many promises. I mean, we've read these things before. This is how we assure ourselves. Don't let the enemy creep in. Deuteronomy 7:15, we read it a few days ago when we were dealing with those four horns. You know, God promises us great deliverances. These things will not be our portion. The Lord will take away from thee all sickness. I will not put any of these evil diseases upon you that I put upon the Egyptians, but put it upon those that hate you. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord gave us victory over burdens and different things that the enemy tried to bring. You know, and even though we shouted the victory a few days ago, you will still be confronted suddenly with things that may naturally bring an opposite reaction. But stir up yourself in the glory of God. Let that soul shrink. Let that bubble arise and stay inside that bubble. He said, if you walk in the spirit, that's like if you are walking in that bubble, just rolling in that bubble. That, you know, all these other things, you know, will not affect you. And you won't even fulfill the desires of the flesh. Glory to God. Now I'm going to pray over the room. The peace that Christ purchased for us, the chastisement of our peace, was laid upon him. It was not in vain. And he said, by all means, the Lord of peace himself shall grant you that peace by all means. Hallelujah. Christ paid the price. Likewise, he said in Colossians 1 and 20, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He made peace for us through that blood. So what, no matter what situations around us, peace in the valley, peace throughout all of this, perfect peace the Lord gives unto us as long as we keep our minds stayed on thee. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Glory to God. You know, though the mountains swell and all these things around me, though there be what seem like evil tidings, I will not fear. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray this morning and afternoon, wherever your people are, your very precious people for whom you died, hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus, the peace of God that passes understanding be in their hearts. Keep their hearts and minds in the name of Jesus. Through the storm, through the billows, through the tempest, through the fire, through the rivers, through whatever, in the name of Jesus. Peace that passes all understanding. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is it just like a tree that's planted by the waterside? You know, you have peace constantly, quiet assurance. My people shall dwell in quiet places. They have steadfast peace, peaceful habitations in the name of Jesus for your people. Glory to God Almighty. Father, we claim the process of light, a process of power, a process of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ shining through our body. We claim it, the life also of Jesus in our mortal flesh. We claim it for ourselves and everyone. I claim it for everyone that's in this room today. Glory to God. Because you have feared my name, the Son of Righteousness arises with healing in your wings, in his wings over you. And because you have stayed upon the name of the Lord, therefore the Lord will keep you in perfect peace. Peace from situations around you. Peace from things that you may hear. Peace from things that you may see. By the eye of faith, you see the word of God. You take the weakness of God rather than the weakness of men. We give the Lord the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.